Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything in this relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I do want to thank you for joining us today. It's December here. We're coming close to the end of the year. You might be like most people out there, reviewing your goals, your finances, you have a big career, commitments, but you're still finding yourself wondering why money feels so stressful, inconsistent, or it's just hard. If you're trying to create genuine financial stability or breaking old patterns around money, that's why we have Cindy Kohler today. She offers something practical, grounded, surprisingly. Cindy helps people stop operating from their old identity and start stepping into the version of themselves that can actually hold wealth. Cindy, I want to welcome you to the show. Thank you for being here. This is so timely.
Thank you, Steve. It's wonderful to be on your show. Money should be an everyday conversation because it's an everyday interaction. Every day we interact with money several times a day. And so I think we get a little bit fearful of talking about money. So I love the fact that you've got a show that talks about money.
You know, one of the things that our listeners would love to hear about is, how did you get started with what you do? What got you going with helping people?
Coaching is one of those things that evolved out of 40 years of being invested in mindset, meditation, and mindfulness. I started meditating when I was 21. And I realized there was something very powerful about being in control of your internal state. So it has been that lifelong journey since I was 21. And the other culminating thing is a 20-year educational career. So I'm very invested in the power of education being lifelong learning. And the third part of it is 25 years in business, having created and sold four different award-winning businesses. So the coaching is a culmination of the 40 years in mindfulness, the 20 years in education, and the 25 years in business. It seems to be the piece that I can add the greatest value to say, look, here's the wisdom of my 60 years delivered over 10,000 hours of coaching. That's what got me to this place here, and I just love it. I love the work.
My 10,000 hours of coaching. So you've done it just a little bit, huh? A little bit of experience and been around the block a few days.
Cool. Not my first rodeo. Not my first rodeo, Steve.
No, I didn't think it was. We looked into you and we know it's not your first rodeo by any means. So the first big question that I like to come up with is, everybody budgets. Okay. For some reason, people go, I put together this budget for my expenses, how my savings and stuff like that. And it, for some reason, never comes true. I think in your comments is it fails. And you know what? And you know what? A lot of people are trying to understand why it fails. How come? Could share that and let's talk about some of the things people can do to help them with that budget so that it doesn't fail.
Thank you, Steve. Great question. I really love people to have a spending plan. Call it budget, call it spending plan. It's handy to have some guidelines and framework about that. But the piece that I'm particularly fascinated in is, as a certified money coach, is one of the strings to the bow, is our inherited beliefs about money from our childhood. It's fascinating to see how things we heard and saw and felt when we were kids, that 0 to 7 years old, and then embedded those beliefs when we were 7 to 12, how they play out in our adulthood, in our relationship to money. If you grow up in a household where there isn't a lot of money and you heard things like money doesn't grow on trees, you have to work hard to get your money and money is really hard to come by, and you take those inherited beliefs that money is hard and that money is hard to come by, then that really affects your relationship with money, because the reality is that there is a lot of money circulating around us, and to approach life with an abundant mindset leaves us open to that rather than saying it is hard and it should be something we should be fearful against. So I do a lot of work with people in having a look at what are those first memories they have of money. What's that first emotional piece that they have with money? It might have been an argument in a household or something that broke that was highly valuable. You know, there's a trigger or a trend around and see how it plays out in everyday life. So that's part of the financial piece I do.
So what you're saying is those little things that you see and you heard and watched and ingrained become triggers for the rest of your life.
Yeah. For example, there is a fear-based mentality around us as children. Some people grew up in a really tough financial situation, but sometimes you'll find that they still play out in our adult life. For example, let's say a bill comes into a household. The automatic triggering reaction is a fear-based one. You go, oh, not another bill, which is that old dialogue and belief coming out that there won't be enough money to pay for it. And perhaps an alternative and a healthier relationship with when bills come into us is to say, oh, my goodness, there's a power bill. Isn't it great having electricity, right? I'm so grateful that there's a provider that when I go to a wall and flick on a light, that this provider sends electricity to me. It's a healthy exchange between the provider and me. I give them money. They give me electricity. That's a healthy relationship with the financial stuff. When I go to buy a coffee, if that's how I choose to spend my money, I love when people make me a great coffee. I don't complain about the $7 for the coffee. I don't whinge about it. I don't complain about it. I go, thank you so much, like, for making a great coffee, and really enjoy what that $7 gives me. And in that essence, I can have a healthier relationship with money and demonstrate it. But acknowledging it and doing the work to have a look at it and say, what are my beliefs around money? Do I have a scarcity mindset? Do I really believe that money is hard to come by? Did I have demonstrated in my childhood, like, the sand in the hand approach to money? Money in, money out really quickly. There's plenty of money around, but, oh, you spend it like it's water, because that might have been what you witnessed. That people hadn't given you a financial education. Let's have a look at some short-term savings, some longer-term savings, some retirement investment, and then we have a look at this discretionary spending, right? Here's the fixed bills and all the other bits and pieces. Maybe we didn't get an education in that, and I certainly didn't. I had to get that during my adult life. But if we have that sand in our hand and money slips through my fingers like it's water, then you won't have that discerning decision-making around, look, here's an item, a high-expense item, clothing, shoes, I don't know, subscriptions, cars, a good spend. Money will go out as fast as it comes in, and you'll find that there's very little in a saving piece. So having a look at those beliefs, that identity, how we see ourselves with money is really important, and then asking the question, is that working for me? Is that the relationship I want with money? And then you empower yourself to say, yes, I'm happy with that's healthy, or no, that's not as healthy as what it could be. That's not setting me up for great financial success. That's not setting me up for a healthy relationship with money. And so let me unpack that a little bit, and maybe I want to embed something really different. Maybe I want to say things like, I'm really good with money, right? How often do we hear people say, oh my God, I'm so bad with money? How often do we hear people say that they're scared about talking about money? Maybe we want to embed and say, you know what, I'm learning about money. I could learn more, but I'm learning and I'm getting better with money and I love investing and it's really cool to see my savings grow. And let me take it one step at a time. There is enough money in the household to pay for the fixed costs and all these bits and pieces. So, yeah.
So what you're saying is take the mental approach from the negative and then switch it to the positive. It's where things look like a blessing. For me, we call it whiny in our family. So if you're going to whine about it, figure out another way to say it, but make it positive. So, you know what? I look forward to, you know what, enjoying this cup of coffee, even though it's $7. I'm looking forward to enjoying it to get my money out of it, as opposed to saying, oh my God. And when we have issues with paying the bills, it's like, hey, this is great, I've got my electricity now, I can have the electricity, as opposed, oh, I can barely afford it. Does that make sense? Am I following on the right path there?
Absolutely. You can use whatever language you like, but if we look at it from a completely objective, non-judgmental space, we would say, what do I think about it now? What is my approach now? What do I say about money now? What do I say about myself and relationship about money now? And a really good, simple task to do, which is really helpful, is to write down money is on a piece of paper. And then whatever comes into your head or heart next, write it down. Then write down money really is, and then write down whatever comes out. If you keep doing that process four, five, six times, four, five, six lines in front of you, your real belief about money will come out. And then you can have a look at it and say, look, that's how I feel now. How do I want to feel about money? What is my relationship with money in the future? What is a healthy relationship? What is a really empowering belief? Above the line is an empowered, healthy belief and thinking and way of living. Below the line is the blaming and explaining and giving excuses. So the victim sits in the blame and the excuses and the complaining or the whining. Yeah. And then the empowered person says, okay, I'm responsible. I'm the adult. How do I want to feel? What do I want to believe? How do I want to speak this truth about money for me? What is an empowered state in that?
Really great thing to say. The reason why I say that is because I was just thinking about a person that I know that makes, as a doctor, it makes a lot of money. And you know what? This person's in their mid-60s, but they spend so much and they're realizing, oh my God, I've been spending so much, but they don't know how to stop because that's all they've been doing. And like you said, money's just like sand going through the hands. And then I've got another person who I've been thinking about as well, just like you're talking about this and just going, you know what? I've got this much for my expenses. This is how much I'm saving. I want to reach this goal because I'm going to do this and this. And everything's about climbing to the next step. So there's two big changes that people need to look at from that perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. That is it. You've got the spender, and then we call them a tight something or other over here in Australia. You can fill in the blank after that. The moths fly out of their wallet when they open them up. They hang on to everything because of that scarce. And then those people like sand in the hand, I've got it, I'll spend it, I've got it, I'll spend it. They're all in that immediate instant gratification. The third one that I see really commonly is the head in the sand, the ostrich. Like, oh God, I don't want to have a look at it. I don't have financial literacy. So I'm going to keep my head in the sand and hope it's okay. You'll hear women say this, I just leave that to him. He looks after all the money. Right? So that's really common, and you're laughing. You know exactly.
Actually,
what
I'm right now because I talked to somebody just like that today. But look, we're going to have to take a break. Stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Cindy Kohler and Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I truly want to thank you for sharing us with your friends, family, and associates. All the replays are available on savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight and information on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss the show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Also, follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. Join the Insiders Club, guests, gifts, the whole shot. Now let's get back to Cindy Kohler. One of the big things is we've been talking about these issues that people have and how the different perspectives that they look at it. And some people got their head in their sands. Some people are letting everything fall through their fingers. And we all know about Taiwans, or they like to call themselves frugal. And that's fine. But we're all talking about that. Now, a lot of this is an ingrained nervous system reaction. The big question with money is, what do we do about it, Cindy?
That's a great question, Steve. And it's a common thing. I think a lot of people would say that they were triggered by certain financial situations. When I wasn't as comfortable talking about finances, I didn't get a financial education. Going to the accountant, you could feel that feeling in your gut going, ooh, I don't feel comfortable at this. I'm a bit scared. So that is a neurobiological response. So a belief that we have about something, and let's say in this situation we're talking about money, is something that we've been thinking for a long period of time and we've added significant emotion to it. It could happen once or several times, and there might be circumstances in our childhood where there was a significant emotional event and we've hung on to that belief and replay that thinking. What do we do about that when we have these certain beliefs? First of all, I think getting it out on paper or verbalizing it is a really important part. I spoke in the last segment about how you can write it down and say money is. And writing is a beautiful way of being able to identify your own beliefs because it's a physical way of getting out of your head. Basically, say money is, what do I really think about money? How do I feel about money? What are the emotional states when I talk about money? How do I feel going to the accountant or the financial advisor? Right? So you can do that, or you can talk to someone about it. You can actually work with a coach, you can talk to a friend, a counselor, you can talk to someone, in your industry, a financial planner, and actually speak about what your beliefs are. Verbalizing them gets them out of your head and your heart and into the ether in order for you then to have a look at it and identify it and go, okay, this is the old belief or the current belief that I have. You can say to yourself, a healthy belief, I am competent with money. I am secure with money. There is plenty of money out there. I earn money easily. Abundance is around me. Okay, so you can start having a look is what is the thinking that I want to put into my head that is new and that is serving me better? I have a great relationship with money. There is enough money to pay the bills as well as to have some savings. And in that way, saying the words and then feeling an emotion of, you can choose the emotions that you want to feel. So make the statement, here's the thought in words, I am competent with money or I'm successful financially. Choose the words and then attach some emotion to it, excitement about earning more money or calmness about having enough money or the potential to earn more money. Embedding the thought, the words over and over again in your head with some clear emotion like calmness, peace, confidence, joy, fun. I would say that embedding those on a day-by-day basis, having pieces of writing around you, talking about it positively, would be that second step. So, number one, getting it out of your head, what the old belief or the current belief is. Number two, deciding what do I want my healthy belief to be. Number three, setting up some words and then some emotion to go with that. Number four, embedding it by actually saying it, thinking it, feeling it into reality. And noticing, I think number five, noticing that the old stuff is going to pop up. All right, let's just recognize that, right? Let's just say, oh, there's the old stuff come up. And it will at the beginning, it'll pop up and you'll notice it. Observing it, because we have metacognition, mindfulness and metacognition is the ability to observe the mind. Observing it and saying, there you are, I see you, that's old, off you go. Stop, that's a lie, that's my old self. All right, what's my new belief about that? And then embedding the new. Does that give you a bit of a process, Steve?
Yeah, no, I think that's wonderful. When I was by myself a lot, developing businesses on my own, and I was the leader, I always thought, okay, what are the three things that went right today? What am I grateful for today?
That's it.
And my job was to solve problems, and there were always problems. I was always redeveloping something.
Always.
Something would, it was just like something got pushed in or punched in the face, and it was all messed up. And here comes Steve. So I get to deal with the mess. So every day was, what three things went right? What was I grateful for that occurred that day? And how did I make progress? Because there was a lot of back, it took a long time. You've ran businesses, so if you've redeveloped them, the pain that you go through in the beginning, and it's like working out and developing something, at the beginning, it's going to be painful. It's going to be sore. Yeah. And then you get more comfortable with it, and everybody starts saying, okay, this works. So I understand what you're saying. You get to a point where you're going, hey, you know what? Why do I need to deal with that stuff?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
And I love that you've brought up that example, because when you first start doing this, it's going to feel a bit clunky and you're going to go, this doesn't feel like me. That's that messy process of change. And that's why we bring in support structures to help us with whatever accountability structures you bring in, a buddy or a coach, counselor or anything like that. So it is going to feel clunky at the start. You're going to try something new and you're going to put your L plates on and drive with it for a period of time. That's beautiful, the piece you brought up about what are the three things that went right in the day. The end of day, when you're going through this change in financial beliefs, the start of the day, that first 5 to 30 seconds, is a critical piece to set our mindset right in the morning. As soon as we wake up, our mind will try and go into our default mode network, replaying all the 60 to 70,000 thoughts we had yesterday. Their mind is just a record of the past, until we take control and go, you know, what thoughts do I want to put in? What do I want to believe? How am I going to empower myself with my thinking first? That would be the time to build the abundant mindset in the morning before the old tapes start to roll out. In those first few minutes of waking is a very powerful time of day.
And one of the things that you said, that's the reason why you have a coach, if you don't want to fall off the wagon. So you don't want to go back. That's why you have a coach that smacks you around a little bit and gets you back in the game, so to speak. That makes sense.
Yeah. Change is not easy. Change rarely is easy. And it's a bit uncomfortable, and you have to get comfortable with something really different. That's why a lot of people, over 90% of people, fail at their New Year's resolutions. Because for a number of different reasons, the figures like 8 or 9% actually achieve their New Year's resolution goals. If you're serious about change, it does take some discomfort when you get in that messiness of change. Mm-hmm. So setting up some form of support and structure, setting up some form of routine to assist yourself with that, getting some great people around you, working with a great financial person to have a look at these things, working with people that you know and trust is a very powerful way of creating change.
And the nice thing about working with somebody you like and trust, because it just reminds me of something that occurred when I was developing a style of business or a marketing approach. I had invested in multiple variations of that, and I was trying to make three of them work at the same time, which was insane, but it was me, my insanity. And I finally had my coach go, what the hell are you thinking? And I joked with him. I go, you just did this to me.
Handed you the heavy brick, right?
Lord, I got a smack in the face. But it was like, he goes, you're spending all your bunch of money and you don't want to give it up because you want to get everything you can out of it, but you're better off saying goodbye to the ones that aren't working and focusing on the one that was. And as soon as I did, it was like night and day difference. It took off like gangbusters. Trying to do three different things at the same time that were similar was the dysfunction. It's really great to have somebody that's honest enough to go, hey, you're doing it wrong, and be direct with you.
And they do that because they care about you. It's like a parent that puts some strict frameworks around parenting. We do it because we love our kids. It's not an easy process to go through. And having an honest conversation with someone who can objectively see what we can't see ourselves, because we're in the middle of it and we can't see the trees for the forest. And someone comes along and say, hey, do you realize if you just did this little thing? Yesterday, I had a conversation with a business owner. And with a simple change, that their annual turnover increased by 200,000. Well, that to me was really obvious because I'm an outside person. And they were in the middle of it and said, oh my God, how do we not see that? Because you're right in the middle of it. And when we talk about money and we're right in the middle of it, it's genuinely a emotional discussion as well. There's emotion involved. And business gets like that too. It's great to have an outside person to show you what you can't see because we're right in the middle of it. That's why I have my coaches.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I truly want to thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting your friends and families know about the Saving with Steve show. We want to get back to Cindy Kohler. We've got ahas all over the place. So, Cindy, let's talk about the difference between attracting money and maintaining it. How do people go about doing that?
Yeah, it is. There's a key difference there in like an attraction and maintaining it. And in terms of attracting money, some people believe from an affirmation perspective that they purely just have to do a repetition of words. I sit there and I say 3,000 times, I'm financially abundant, until you're blue in the face. And then they come to me and say, where's the money? What's going on? And the words are less powerful than the emotional state of already being in abundance. So from a quantum physics perspective, there is no way that I can be in an abundant space if I don't already feel like I am there. So if I walk around and feel like emotionally and internally my energy is about scarcity, and I don't have enough, and if I'm saying the words of I'm financially abundant, but I'm feeling like fear every time I see a bill coming into the letterbox, then there is no way that can be attracted towards myself. So in terms of embedding an emotional state of abundance, that is sitting with yourself and basically going, I am in a future state of abundance. I know that money is coming to me. I know that I'm doing the work and I'm taking the action. How would it feel if I was in that abundant state now? And I embed that state now and everything else just falls into place when I do the action to get it there. You can't win the lottery if you don't buy the lottery ticket. And you can't do zero amount of work and just expect the business to grow. But if I am of the belief deeply and the emotional state of being abundant and how that feels calm and I feel grateful and I can relax, if I feel that knowing that everything I'm doing is going to create that state, then that is what draws abundance to people. Keeping wealth is very much aligned with your self-value and self-worth. If I don't see the value in myself as an expert in my area of expertise, if I don't care for self, if I don't demonstrate self-leadership in ways of looking after my health and doing the movement and eating the right food and investing in my education, those are demonstrated actions of showing value and self-worth. And so if I am investing in that and demonstrating those on a day-to-day basis, part of that is building up a financial bundle, wealth, resource, long-term and short-term for myself in order to maintain it. And then taking the steps and the actions and having the habits that are healthy by saying, keeping a budget, having a spending plan, not overspending. You know, if it's a big financial decision, maybe I'll take 3 days to think about that before I actually take some time to step back and go, hang on, let's really have a look at that. Talk to some people, give the emotion an opportunity to settle and go, is that really what I want? Or do I just want to go out and hire a 9-11 for half a day and have some fun and take it back? That's going to be better than dropping 200, 300K on a expensive car, if that's what works for you. So maintaining it is about the feeling of self-worth and self-value, and then the associated behaviors. Because if I have self-worth, I'll eat the healthy food, I'll do the exercise, I'll have the healthy finances because I value myself and my well-being both short-term and long-term. I'll value long-term investments. I'll enjoy saving. And then also, the more I earn, the more I have to give. From a non-egoic perspective, I want to earn more. There is plenty of money. If I earn more, I can give more. I can have enough for me, my family, and all of my people, but also I can donate, I can support the causes that give meaning to me and make the world a better place in that space.
So here's another question. The people that you surround yourself with, how important is that when you're looking at that money mindset, maintaining it, attracting money, the people that you have around you?
Yeah, I want to have people around me who support my goals and dreams, who lift me up and who challenge me to that next level of growth. I want people around me who are aligned with that level of thinking and growth. If I've got people around me who are talking scarcity, who are continuing to embed negativity about finances, all right, that is going to be affecting my energy and it's going to be getting into my mind and affecting my beliefs. In that sense, negativity about finances is going to have an effect on me. And I have to ask myself a question like, is that what I want in my life? Are those the people they want to have in my life? And maybe it's as simple as not having financial conversations with those beautiful people with all the love and kindness and respect, but having around me people that have really healthy, abundant mindsets, that have great financial habits, who have great wealth, who know how to align with and manifest wealth so that they create inspiration for myself in bringing myself to that next level of wealth. I think it is critical for us to have great people around us that support and challenge us to that next level of wealth, growth, and abundance. And maybe those people that don't, we just have some boundaries around those conversations.
Oh, yeah. I think that's outstanding the way you said that. And you created that nice reality. I have a lot of friends that listen to this. Everybody has people that they hang around with for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour or two. There's the day people, there's the weekend people. You have to figure out who's the 20 minute and all that stuff because it will affect, you don't want that to affect you because you want to continue to soar. I really like the way you said that. In my business, you hear people talk about some of the friends around them and it sounds like the housewives are going back and forth. How is that person going to really help me or be there as support when they're doing the back and forth like you see on the housewives? I look at that from the attitude standpoint. You know what? I like people who are going to enable me to go and charge forward and have plans about life. So they're going somewhere. I want to go somewhere. And you know what? We'll all do it together. They'll go in their direction. I'll go in my direction, but we'll all go climb together. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you'll identify it really clearly when you share a financial win with your tribe. You'll come in and say, I had a great week. I brought on X amount of business and, oh, look, I'm just celebrating tonight. And the people in your tribe will go, yay you, brilliant. My God, go. Your next year is going to be fabulous. I see lots of people coming into your business, right? Those are the kind of people that I want around me that really celebrate the financial wins and say, that's brilliant. All finance and abundance to you. I think the people that I watch out for are those that speak about it negatively and say, oh, wow, really? They speak with jealousy or they try and bring it down and they suck all the joy out of that. Those are the people that I'm really careful that I share my wins with.
Yeah.
So it doesn't deflate what is a celebration.
Yes. In fact, I think some of the best compliments somebody can give besides what you've just said is, that's awesome. How'd you do that? So they can go, how can you lift me up now?
Happy to share.
So I've got to take a break. Folks, we'll be right back with more Saving with Steve and Cindy Kohler.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I truly want to thank you for sharing this with your friends, family, and associates. One of the big things here is this: there's little things, small daily things, that identity upgrades that you could do that have a big financial payoff. You know what? Cindy was talking about how she showed somebody just one little different thing and their $200,000 in the revenue going up further. That's something special. Little things here and there. Cindy, let's talk about that, because these little things make a difference. People don't realize that little thing can make a lot more money. And it's not always, here's my little business plan to make that happen.
Yeah, I would say one of the key identity things that is very powerful, there has to be a clear vision that you have and a clear dream. And this is where your imagination comes in, and this is where curiosity comes in. If you were to fast forward 3 years down the track or some timeline like that, if you were to be in a beautiful financial position and an abundant state, get really clear about what that looks like and feels like for you. So that dream, that space, let's just call it vision, that word works well for businesses, that they have absolute clarity about what that looks like. That's a key identity upgrade. Here I am now, Cindy, sitting here in December 2025, but the future state of where I'm going to be in 2028 is more financially abundant. I'm going to be more skilled. My investments are going to be larger. My management skills of money are going to be higher. My business is going to be more abundant. That is the vision we want to create. That's a key thing about changing identity. And so having that, and then having the feelings, as I said before, embedding those feelings, what would that feel like, and bring that into a present state. I am living on a day-to-day basis what is a vision for the future. I make decisions from that future person. So the alter ego of that future person, just Sasha Fierce was Beyonce's on-stage presence, right? Mm-hmm. Persona, if I step into that future state person, they make the decisions on a day-to-day basis. If I'm looking at my outgoings, what would that future state person do? They would go through it regularly, every quarter, every 6 months, have a look at the outgoings, and have a look at the subscriptions, and where is it that we can run a really lean, efficient, A, household, B, business, right? Profit is essentially minimizing outgoings and maximizing incomes, and you increase the gap of what mm-hmm. is take-home profit, right? So having a look at that is a key piece. Have a look at your outgoings and get really honest with yourself about that. Do you need 5 television subscriptions, right? Or do you end up watching the same one for 3 months? There is a huge amount of saving there. Checking out energy bills, upgrading them, phone, things of that sort of, those are key. And then in terms of incomes, having a look at the low-hanging fruit for businesses, having a look at pricing, models of delivery of service, having a look at marketing budgets, having a look at sales budgets, having a look at the incomes, having a look at how you can maximize those two things on a key piece. Having a look around, for example, in a household, In Australia, it's said that there's roughly $2,000 worth of stuff lying around that we don't use on a daily basis, right? How could I sell that and bring that income and put that into better use? How could I turn over my wardrobe on an annual basis? I haven't worn that shirt for 12 months. Maybe I could sell that. You're heading out now, Steve. I turn over my wardrobe every 12 months because I haven't worn that shirt for 12 months. And seriously, I'm not going to wear it. Right? So for me, that works. Like, what stuff is lying around that I haven't used for 12 months that I can sell and put money in the bank? $2,000 is an overseas flight. Travel is something that I really value. Simple things like I love coffee, but for 5-6 days a week, I make it at home. We've just saved $2,500 on having a coffee machine at home, and I can still go out and enjoy a coffee because someone else is making it. It's a little strategy that brings in greater abundance for me. Those are just some little things you can do. I make decisions on a day-to-day basis on a future self that is more financially educated, more abundant, and a greater leadership position of my finances, and I find I make more empowered decisions now. Does that make sense, Doug?
Oh, totally. It's so funny. We're an example of this. In the States, you have cable, and then you have DirecTV through YouTube, and you only pay for the internet, and then you pay a few dollars for the YouTube Live, and you get all the same stuff you got before, except it's cheaper. So we were very resistant to change, but once we realized it was $200 less a month, it was like, me first. When you think about that, there's a lot of little things you could do, whether it be a cell phone plan or a utility. You can make small little changes that could be $5, $10, $100, and those all add up. You talked about clothing, and I bet you people got stuff in their garage that they haven't utilized and will never move to the next place. Those are the things you want to pull out, have the garage sale. And if you don't want to sell them or can't sell them, maybe they could be donated and you get a write-off. You know what? And even with people going to travel, there's so many books about how you can travel the world for less than what it costs to stay at home. And in fact, there's an author by the name of Wayne Dunlop. He was the keynote speaker of the World Travel Conference a few years back. You can find out how to travel for far less just by doing some simple things. And part of that was doing little things like education. Hey, I want to be like that person 5 years down the road, but in order to get there, you need some education. I think that's really cool that those little things make all the difference, providing you're making decisions like somebody 5 years down the road.
Yeah. And that empowered person, one of the important things is that your spending is aligned with your values. You spend your money however you want, but I find there's greater joy in how I spend money around the household and in my life when it is directly aligned with my values. You'll find out what's important to you when you look at your credit card statement. You'll see where you spend your money and you'll go, is that a values alignment? If I value education, and I'm spending money on education, books, etc., within a certain budget for myself, then that's an alignment. If I value adventure, then spending money on travel is a high return on investment. If I value growth, then spending money on coaching or learning in other areas, that's a high value spend.
Speaking about coaching, tell us about what you do, how you help people.
I basically work with 15 one-on-one clients around the world. I work with professional athletes, musicians, small business owners and entrepreneurs to help them do what they can't do on their own. That's the bottom line. And I work with a online coaching community. We've got a new course starting on February 3rd called Accelerate that looks at where you are now, where you want to be, and gives you structure and support, clear steps and strategy on how to get there. And the third thing I do is I do keynote speaking. So I'm one of those people that actually doesn't mind public speaking. I really enjoy it. So I work and speak with businesses, associations, large organizations, conferences to help share the message and help deliver the one-to-many products. One-to-one coaching, online group coaching, and keynote speaking.
So if somebody wants to get a hold of you for keynote speech or get involved with coaching, how can they go about doing that?
My business is called Mind Garage. So you'll find me at mindgarage.com.au. If you wanted to drop me an email, if you had any questions about this podcast, I'm happy to answer them for you. My email is cindy@mindgarage.com.au. And I could answer any questions in that space. So those are probably the easiest places. There's lots of social media links at the Mind Garage, and on LinkedIn you can find me. So that's probably the easiest way to get in touch.
Folks, if you'd like to get a hold of Cindy, within a week of you seeing this, you're going to see all her information on the website. Click it, send her an email, get in connection with what she's doing, see what she's all about. If there's a possibility she can help you, by all means, reach out. Cindy, I want to thank you so much for being here today. This has been wonderful. I've got a number of ahas, some things I used to do in the past. I'm like, oh, you should have been doing that. But we all do those things. I bet you even come across, God, I stopped doing it. I should start doing it again. And you know what? Even when, I'll just say, this is so perfect for me, because in the last couple of weeks, there's a lot of things that have been going on personally, family-wise. Some people have had health issues, and there's been some disruption with what I'm doing. It's just like listening to you, I was like, oh, okay, let's get out of your head and get back to where we were before.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And again, I want to thank you for being here on Saving with Steve. Folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I truly want to thank you for sharing us with your friends, family, and associates. All the replays are available on savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight and information on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss the show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Also, follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. Cindy Kohler was awesome. You want to go to mindgarage.com.au, which is Australia. She works with people all over the United States. Check out her website, publications. If you're looking for a quality speaker, check her out as well. Let's get into this last segment. This is about finances, and this is something that a lot of people don't realize that's occurring. Now, the Fed's quantitative tightening program ended this last Monday. Now, quantitative tightening is the process through which the Federal Reserve allows bonds it owns to mature. Once the bonds mature, the money the Federal Reserve loaned out is paid back to the Fed. The Fed then transfers the cash to the Treasury, thereby shrinking its balance sheet, draining the liquidity from the financial system. That means less money in the system. This program began back in June of 2022 as a means of draining liquidity from the financial system to combat inflation. Since that time, the Fed has drained over $2.4 trillion in liquidity from the financial systems. The federal balance sheets declined from $8.9 trillion to $6.5 trillion. That's where it sits today. Now, here's where it gets interesting. from the looks of things, the Fed might soon need to flood the financial system with another round of quantitative easing. Quantitative easing is buying new dollars to buy bonds. Why? Because behind the scenes, the U.S. banking system is experiencing a mini funding crisis. Okay? We heard this about Cisco earlier. Every night banks are turning to the Federal Reserve for overnight funding to the tune of $10 billion plus per day. First time this happened since the pandemic. Eventually, this can force the Fed to start another round of quantitative easing. And when it does, inflation hedges could explode higher. If you are looking for reasons why gold and precious metals refuse to break down, this is it. The reason I share this with you is because there's so much going on under the hood in today's economy, and this need for intelligent asset allocation is never greater. The need for intelligent exit plans has never been greater as well. An intelligent exit plan is one of which where you have three parts. One is a primary exit. It is when you start feeling stress around the system or volatility, you adjust to lower levels. Then there's a backup exit plan where you're adjusting to lower volatility assets and also keeping liquidity for major events or 1 or 2 years worth of spending. And then there's a short-term cash reserve, okay, to make sure you can pay for the next couple of years when you have financial distress. Now, there's some practical elements to it. One of the practical elements is making sure there's money for emergencies, medical, and things like that. Making sure you have an income plan that's purpose-related, so it's isolated and protected, so regardless of whatever happens, you keep your portfolio intact as well as an income plan so you can keep your spending levels consistent. And the last one is triggers. For example, market volatility, where my accounts drop from 10 to 15% from their highs, that's when I make changes. Or there's sustained spikes. Or I have to fix the house. We had a fire drill at the office. Everybody knew they had to stand up, walk down the hall, walk out the front door, go to this area where everybody would be safe. It was unemotional. We knew exactly what we're going to do. Imagine doing that with your finances. Safe, reserved. Now, here's the big thing about an exit plan. It isn't about timing the market. It isn't about watching the news. It's having a rehearsed reaction to an event that's going to occur so you can keep your spending intact as well as maintain your lifestyle and your legacy. We've seen so much growth in the market. The question to ask is, are we entering a period of false prosperity? Investors have experienced abundance of financial prosperity over the last few years. The markets went up like 40%, gold up 85%. However, how sustainable is this prosperity? Is this prosperity built on solid financial and economic grounds? The U.S. economy is increasingly K-shaped. Higher income powering spending while lower income consumers struggle with affordability. This concern here is how long can the two realities coexist before something breaks? Inflation continues to be an issue. One can argue that the current situation is a definition of anchored inflation, the very thing that keeps central bankers awake at night. Sustainability of debt accumulation, the durability of assets price gains, the health of credit markets. When we look at this incredible market run on the surface, how can someone argue we are living through one of the biggest stock market booms of our lifetime? The big question will be, when perception meets reality, what impact will that have on your portfolio, on your retirement? That's why it's important to make sure you have an exit plan, not timing in the market, but a rehearsed step of things that you do when there's financial distress. Make sure that you keep your lifestyle intact, that you keep your legacy intact. Folks, I want to thank you for joining us here on Saving with Steve. Cindy Kohler was wonderful. I'll look forward to seeing you next time right here on Saving with Steve. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.